Thank you for joining us for this month's TEA Conversation Circle. Today's topic is on developing good writing habits. Our co-moderator today is Angelica Ribeiro, PhD, writer, researcher, and presenter. She's also presenting a webinar on Friday. For those of you who are new to the Conversation Circle, this is meant to be an open sharing discussion, so please unmute and share if you can. If you aren't able to, please feel free to share your thoughts in the chat or just listen in. Unless you're sharing, please remain muted so that we can rip any background noise. Please enter your name and writing discipline in the chat so we can get to know each other. You are welcome to talk. Aliyah Kabar? I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing your name right. Wrong.
Good afternoon. This is Estelle Finley in Atlanta, College Park, Georgia.
Hi, Estelle. Welcome in.
Good
Good
afternoon.
afternoon. I'm Renu Varghese from Houston, Texas.
And good afternoon. This is Ali Hagiki from Privy A&M University in Texas.
Good afternoon. I'm Lynette Tyson Noel from Trinidad and Tobago.
Hello, everyone.
Good afternoon. I'm Mignette Dorsey. I live in Houston, a retired professor from Lone Star College.
Good afternoon. I'm Sandy, from the UK, a University of Bath.
I am Temu Brewer, and I am from Houston, Texas. And I heard a fellow Trini on the line. So welcome, and thanks for
Okay.
being here.
Nice.
Hello, I'm working on making it so that everyone can also have their cameras on. Sorry about that. Welcome in. I've never set this up as a webinar before. I wanted to set up as a webinar so that it would go on everyone's calendar, so they'd have a calendar reminder, and I didn't know how else to do that. But now no one can see each other. So.
We
So
can hear, so that's the most important.
okay, perfect. That's we stab we gap. We have that covered, right? My first question, and anyone feel free to jump out with a question that you might have, and anyone can feel free to jump in and answer, respond. What is one thing that you do that you think helps you write, that gets you into the habit of writing, that just gets you motivated and just keeps you writing and keeps you going? If anyone would like to share, go ahead.
Well, I need my space. This is Estelle Finley. I need my space to be organized at first, even though it gets messy later. I have to see some clear space first and some neat piles or files or something organized. But everything, flies after that. But I at least need to start organized.
Thank you, Estelle. That's a good point. Kim Reed, go ahead.
Hi everyone, I'm Kim Reed from Prince George's Community College in the rainy state of Maryland. I'm new to this forum. This is my first time attending. And I'm sort of an aspirational writer, but I haven't started and I'm having problems getting started. So I was hoping to attend to get some good information from you guys and maybe a good nudge.
Anyone
So,
has any? Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to ask. So Cam, thank you for sharing. Do you need help getting started in terms of writing, getting unstuck? Oh, tell us more.
Well, I have this dream of writing this workbook for my students, and I have all the ideas in my head and how it's going to look. I just don't make the time to do it, and I don't know where to start. Should I start with an outline? Should I just, I mean, I've read where professional writers say just get started. It doesn't matter. Just start writing. And I'm a little bit stuck. So all of those things.
I think a suggestion that I have is just to put all your thoughts down on a piece of paper or open a Word document and start typing everything that comes to your mind. And it's going to look messy, but at least you are not holding on to all those ideas that you have. So that's what I would do.
Okay. Thank you.
What do you think? Do you think it
This
would work for you?
I started doing that. I have this for some of the ideas, I have a really long Word doc Word document. I think what I need to do is just start a, I need to put it in my I need to schedule it. Because we schedule everything else, and I think I just need to schedule it. As I'm talking to you guys and being here and hearing myself say it, I feel like I sound like my students. And we tell our students to just, schedule it, make it a priority. And now I think as I'm saying it out loud, I just need to put it in my schedule and make it a priority.
I would. So Sierra's question earlier was what motivates people? And in this specific case, I've already forgotten your name, Dr. Reed, I think, or anyway,
Kim is
I
fine.
think Kim. Okay. So prioritization, I think, is really important. And what I was going to say with response to Sierra's more general question was that how do we motivate ourselves by making it a priority? I like to think about how we all get PhDs, or most of us get, philosophy, love of wisdom. And if you love what you're doing, if you specifically you're thinking about students to whom you want to teach, if you think in terms of how you're helping people, how you're helping those students, that can be a source of motivation. It can also help then prioritize it, right? You were saying I have to prioritize it, but one thing that makes prioritization stick is if it's important to you. So having this sense that it's something that you love doing, that you're interested in, that you want to help these people, that it's something good in your life. Anyway, that would be, I would add to that. But I do think, as Angelica said, write it down. It sounds like you've done some writing already.
Thank you for that.
Thank you, Dave. Anyone else like to contribute? Same thing. Give her some advice.
I would add more on a sort of a separate angle. Depending on how much you've gotten down on the page already, I would recommend thinking about the structure, thinking about how you would present that. So, thinking in terms of like, what's your book proposal going to be? Because thinking about what the book proposal will be will often help you organize the more specific thoughts that you want to share. So you define who your audience is, who you're teaching, and those very concrete steps don't feel like doing the actual writing sometimes, but they can help with it. So I would add that suggestion if you've already got notes and a page.
Thank you, Dave. Go ahead, Lynette.
Yes, I have mentioned there in the chats about reading a lot, that has helped me because sometimes there's a particular topic that you want to write about, and somebody mentioned like wanting to do a workbook or something like that. And what I need to do, I need to write and read a lot about the topic. What are people saying about it? And so that what I write is not just my idea, but I have some informed ideas, some other educators, which would help me make this not just something just made up of rumor or my ideas, but something made up of what other educators have said in the field. And also what reading a lot helps me do is to help me find a format for the particular project that I'm on. Especially I heard about the workbook there, and I'm also working on a workbook for a particular subject area with one of my colleagues. So I'm really interested in what is taking place here. Thank you.
Thank you, Lynette. And can you guys see each other's just like names hovering while people are talking or anything? Just a quick question. I'm just curious. Just so you guys can see who else is talking. Only see names. Okay.
Only names.
Got it. Sorry about that. Our next conversation circle, we will all be able to see each other. So sorry about that. It's fixed for the next one.
It's okay. So Lena, you were sharing that you like to read. So it seems, so is reading, I know you read, but is it part of a habit? Do you have like a set time during your day that you spend just reading?
One, I like to read, so let's start with that. And I would just have to choose the time that is convenient for me. You know, my time is kind of fluid because I have just recently retired from my university, but I am still involved in a lot of projects that involve a lot of writing. So I read to write. You know, but I don't have a specific time. That probably is something I should work on, because I think if I set aside a specific time for writing, I can in fact become even more focused than I am right now. Yes. Thanks for that.
Cool. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you. Does anyone set specific times for writing, or do they say, I'm going to write after this, even if it's not the same time every day, it's after like another thing they're working on, then they work on that to still develop a habit. Does anyone have anything like that? And if not, you can share your own.
I can begin. I do have a specific time to write, and sometimes it can vary, but I know it's after breakfast. So maybe, today I finished breakfast at 7:15, so then I wrote for 25 minutes. But maybe tomorrow I'm gonna finish at 7:30, but I know I'm going to write for 25 minutes after breakfast. But I know it's going to be around that time. But I do schedule. I have a planner, and I cannot live without a planner, because I like to not only make a to-do list, but I put the time that I'm going to do the important things that I want to do that day. Which, by the way, as Dave mentioned before, are these important things that I even highlight. It's like at the end of the day, I do want to get these things done. They are all aligned with the purpose that I have for my professional life, and writing is one of them, because I want to share knowledge with other people. So I do schedule my writing time, and I schedule for 25 minutes. And if I write more than 25 minutes, it's even better, but it's at least 25 minutes to be realistic.
Angelica, do you write every day?
I do. Maybe, well, Saturday and Sundays only if I have time or if I want to, but Monday through Friday with no exceptions. Yes. Yeah, I do.
That's impressive.
Yeah,
Do you want to
and
say
now,
something, Estelle?
May
Oh,
I
I was
add
just
to it?
going to say that. Oh, go ahead, Dave. Okay.
Well, I write books on mathematics. I'm a researcher, and I have 8 books in mathematics, and textbooks, and also research books. I do not put a specific time on it. Weekends, I definitely, the entire weekend, other than taking the order of my wife and go for grocery or something of that sort. Other than, because I also teach during the day, from 9:30 until 2:30 in the morning, any time in between doesn't make any difference to me. As soon as I get a chance, there is no student here, or I don't have a meeting or something, I start. Somehow, I divide myself among different chapters. So I go jump from one chapter to another because I get tired of one chapter, sticking with that. And so sometimes then I want to skip. To avoid the skipping, I jump to another chapter and work on that. But I just put a mark or something that I don't forget where I was and where my thoughts was. And I make a new version every time just in case that one damages. I had one file damaged yesterday. All day work is gone. So the specific time, I don't do that because for a specific time, by the time you want to concentrate, the time is over. Because the writing is not copying. I don't copy from other books and all that, although some of the materials are a standard. But other than even the standard one, you have to be able to explain it in your own wording. Therefore, concentration is absolutely important. And also, you don't want to write when you're tired, you're sleepy, you're making a mess. Is a complete mess. I've seen myself that how I wrote. So I think that just having writing as a hobby, it works a lot because it helps you to, because you're enjoying it in that time. You're not under pressure, although I have contracts, so I have to finish it to a certain time and all that. But yet, managing the time and making it fun, it would help a lot, a lot. And of course, I have problems sometimes with grammar and all that. That's a certain thing that I have to take care of that by other people. So, but that is my opinion. Thank you.
Thank you. And you said you make writing fun. I'm curious how you do that.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It's, you see that I'm at the point, I have been in this academia for 56 years. And so for me, job is fun as long as there is no stress from administration and all that. But other than that, doing research and writing for me is fun. Otherwise, I should retire and go home and wait for dying. So I don't do that. I plan for when I want to die and all that. So because of that, research and writing is really fun for me. That's how I published about 70 papers and 8 books, and I'm writing now 2 second editions of my 12 books and all that. And I have PhD student and all that. So that I make it fun no matter how much stressful it is, no matter how much time it takes and all that. I make it fun. It's fun for me. I enjoy it very well. And when I go to bed and I really think that, okay, how much I've accomplished all day. Oh, I enjoy it and I sleep enjoyfully.
Thank you.
I really like Ali Akbar's way of talking about making it fun, and it very much reflects one thing that I was saying about philosophy, the idea that we can love wisdom, the idea that this research work is a labor of love, and obviously doing administrative work isn't, but if we can focus on the learning and the ideas that we have to share and the wisdom that we can share with other people, that can really make the work much more engaging. I like to tell people who are struggling with motivation that to think about geeking out on the thing that they're excited about. You didn't get into academia because you were bored or disinterested. Well, I mean, there's millions of different stories in academia, but people go into academia because they're curious. And how can we keep that curiosity alive? And how can we turn that into philosophy? Part of it is to remember that it is this, you're pursuing this thing that you're interested in, you care about, that can be something that you love. I was reading Csikszentmihalyi's book on creativity. Csikszentmihalyi is the flow guy, if you're not familiar, and his name is hard to spell, and I'll put it in the chat in a minute. But all the people that he has that he interviews for that creativity research, they love what they're doing. And I think that's part of finding the motivation to work. And so Ali Akbar is talking about all that he's done and how it's fun. And like, how can we emulate that? And how isn't that reflective of many people who are excellent at what they're doing? They have fun at it, and they love what they're doing. So.
Let me add that the gentleman is talking about, I'm sorry, I didn't see your name. I was department chair of mathematics for 19 years. I stepped down 3 years ago. While I was department chair, I had administrative position with a lot of pressure. How many students we have, how many majors we have, up and down and all that. Yet, I was able to publish papers and I was able to publish books the way that I could. I was collaborating with other faculty of mine and across the world, actually. My work is across the world, collaborating with other people. So it's the management, no matter how hard it was at that point, and there's so much pressure of time and all that, I had to make it. And when I made it, I noticed that how enjoyable it is. It was difficult, I'm telling you, being department chair. And all the students that we have, sometimes they're unprepared and all that, with all of that. So I want to emphasize again, unless you enjoy it, I know that sometimes you're under pressure because you have to be in academia, you have to be tenured, you have to be promoted and all that. I understand those. But, and I have gone through all of that. But yet, you should make research and academia work fun, otherwise it's hell. Thank you.
I think while I'm doing it, I don't enjoy it, probably. But afterwards, when it's all done, I think that it was like I remember it fondly, like it was fun because I have like the relief that it's done. So, does anyone else have that? Or keeps you going?
And that's certainly true for me at times, but I think with a skilled activity like research, the better you get at it, the more fun you can have. Because instead of sitting around trying to figure out what a good research project is and what method you're going to use and all these things, these choices that you're making as a researcher at the beginning of your career, once you've gotten more focus and you know your methods and you start discovering things instead of just figuring out how to do research. And it's the discovery, I think, that's exciting. And so it can be more fun as your skill increases. And writing is that way too. If you're struggling to get sentences on the page, it's really stressful. But as your skill as a writer increases, you write more fluidly and you're just more able to immerse yourself in the ideas that are interesting rather than in the difficulty of writing.
That's a good point.
For me, teaching and research always go hand in hand. So if I'm doing good teaching, if I'm trying to find good texts for students and recognizing what may be the gaps in the text and trying to fill those gaps, that also creates a space for writing. I am a retiree also and taught for 49 and a half years. And I enjoyed it immensely. I found that I was writing all the time because I was always preparing for class. And it didn't matter whether it was the lower levels or upper levels, I was outlining and writing all the time. And that also helped my research. I knew what I wanted to do with my research because I knew it was connected to my teaching.
Thank you, Estelle. Would anyone else like to share? Feel free. Also, if you don't want to unmute, you can always share in the chat as well, and Angelica or I can read it and respond as well.
So for me, of course that I enjoy when I finish writing something, but I think if I have to pick when I enjoy writing the most, I would say during the process, because I see it as a puzzle. You know, I love doing a puzzle. And so for writing, I think it's something very similar, at least the way that I see it. So especially when we write a research paper, so we get all these ideas from other people, right? But we have to put all of that together and come up with something new, but based on all these ideas and based on a problem. So it's like all these different pieces that you have to put together. It has to make sense. And for me, I add the component of it has to be meaningful to me as well and to the people who I want to share that information with. So I do enjoy that piece of thinking about and putting this information together and trying like one way of expressing myself. Then, no, I don't think it's going to work. Let me try this other way. So I personally like that process a lot better than when it's done. Then when it's done, it's like I have to think of something else to start the process again. So
I love that. I also love puzzles, but I've never thought of writing as a puzzle, and I need to do that now because I love problem solving with puzzles, but I haven't thought about it in that lens. So I'm going to try that. Thank you.
It makes it more fun. It's like a
exactly.
So my case, this is Albuquerque, New Mexico. I had the contract of the textbook 4 months ago, but not a single chapter I made progress with it. So speaking of the different types of joy, articles, research papers, no problem, I have good joy. Textbook, different writing, and it's long-term. And then so I prioritize things that I enjoy writing and things that I've been experienced before. So this is my very first textbook contract working on. So I have a very, I mean, always kind of shameful not be able to make progress when I met my publisher staff once in a while. I wonder, all these great tips are wonderful, but because this is my first year be part of a TAA, is it possible to have some supporting group creations so that authors who are working on textbooks or different types of writing projects, so we can support each other. And we all experience the different kinds of writing and the philosophy and the rituals and the motivation struggles and our priority struggles we already been there and we are facing every day. So I just curious if this is possible, something that TAA can help, that we can create a small groups of people, not too big, so that this can be really realistically practical way of supporting each other so that we can make progress with our project.
I have a plug, and we do have the writing accountability sessions at TAA. So we meet for 30 minutes every day of the week and talk about what we're working on, and then we write for 30 minutes, and then we share how it went, if it didn't go well, if we got distracted by a phone call, or if we got stuck on something, and then try to get some help. So if you would like to, if you're interested in that, we can definitely send you that way with that. And also, if anyone has any recommendations for on writing your first textbook, things like that, feel free to share as well. I'm just looking for the writing accountability session page so I can link it in the chat. But
maybe that my question can be some of you who already done textbook writing before, What was your way to finish the very first chapter? My publisher told me the first chapter is the hardest one to complete. After that, you develop some momentum and it's getting easier. But again, for 4 months, I did make progress, but I tend to prioritize other things and then I got stuck. And so if anybody who have kind of somewhat meaningful and successful episode that how you get through the first chapter of textbook, that'll be great.
Could you perhaps say a little more about how you're stuck? When you say you're stuck, do you sit down and write a draft and then throw that draft away? Or do you stare at the blank page? Or are you easily distracted? I mean, what's going on when you say you're stuck? Because there's different flavors of being stuck.
Writing a research paper is pretty obvious the where I cite and what who I cite. Textbook is like there's like really common knowledges that in the field. So at some point that is this my thing or is this something that I have to cite? And is this the ideas from the other textbooks I've been utilizing for my courses? So that part was very different from article manuscript writing, and that seemed to be sort of exhausted me in a way that feeling like not right, quite right. And so yeah, there's one time the portion that I'm stuck with, and of course the rest of the parts of writing sort of delayed and become sort of unflavorable. Unflavorful. It's not like that charming.
I think my recommendation, based on what you've just said, is this is a case for remembering that a first draft doesn't have to get everything right. So the questions of citation in particular, what I would say is just write the draft. And as you revise, you'll write other chapters in the future. Someday you'll come back to this first chapter and then you can look for the citation stuff. But just put the citation question out of your mind and tell the story that you want to tell, speak to the audience that you want to speak to. That would be my recommendation, just based on what you said just now.
Hey, David, that even works. That sounds good. It kind of gives me some breath then how I can make different strategies. That's a good idea. Thank you, Dave.
Great, you're welcome. There's plenty of time to revise, and the citation stuff is definitely not the most important thing you're doing in your textbook.
Writing is very interesting in that sense. And yeah, it's coming from other types of papers. So that's one major reason why I became a new member of TAA anyway. So it's good to be connected with you as well.
Thank you, Dave. That's a good point. And then as you write more chapters, you'll feel more comfortable writing textbook. I've never written a textbook before, but I know like the more you write in certain type of style and format, the better that you get at it. And then when you go back and edit your first chapter again, the revisions will be so much better as well.
I follow up on what Thierry just said. I'm a big fan of virtuous cycles, and I think that as writers, my big thing is for writing is developing a practice that you can maintain. And I think there are sort of two different kinds of cycles that we want to be alert to. There are virtuous cycles and there are vicious cycles. And the virtuous cycle is you get something done, it increases your motivation and increases your confidence and helps you get the next thing done, which then builds your confidence, which helps you keep moving forward, which keeps it fun. So, hopefully we can build a virtuous cycle if we can maintain a practice. The vicious cycle is just the opposite. We have a bad day. We feel bad about it. We feel depressed about it. Makes it harder to work the next day. We have a second bad day. Now I've had two bad days in a row and we just downward spiral. So yeah, any little bit you can get done, you can celebrate that and try and get your virtuous cycle started.
Thank you, Dave. Yeah. And I think if you just get a habit of writing every day, and if you just write anything, it doesn't have to be good, it doesn't have to be great, it can be okay. It can be like, oh, I'm not happy with this at all. But at least you wrote that day. And then you'll get in the habit of writing more and more and more every day, and something will be good. It can't all be fine or okay. Something will be good, and you can always revise it. And just getting in the habit of writing is better than not writing at all, or like trying to get in the habit of writing. Lynette, go ahead.
I think it's important for us to separate the writing, the drafting from the revision and the editing. Is we are prone to write and we want to get it right at the same time, so we start revising and editing. One, that slows down the process, and sometimes it gets you more confused than anything else because you realize, well, I am not getting very far with what I'm doing. I'm spending too much time on that. So the point that you made just now about writing, just getting the writing done, and I think somebody else made that point too. I think that is really very good. Just get the writing done and take some time from it. You've written. Take a few days from it and you reread. You read what you have written. Then you realize, well, maybe, oh, this idea, oh, I should have tried this. Oh, I could try this or something like that. So I think separating those two skills, the writing, the drafting, and the revision editing, that's important. And reread, give yourself some time. And then go back, reread, and then you continue with that cycle again. So I think that helps. That helps, and we'll see how that goes. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Lynette. I guess that's a very good point to separate the writing from the revision. Those are two separate things. And I often found myself doing both of those things at the same time, and it just keeps hindering all of my writing. Because I'm like, oh, I'm going to edit this. I'm going to edit the sentence again. I'm going to edit the sentence again. Oh, I only have one sentence. I haven't gotten anywhere. And as soon as I just started writing, and then it's like, I'm going to edit it afterwards. I got so much further, all my projects so much faster, and it felt more rewarding. It felt more fun. I feel like the editing at the same time made it not fun. So thank you, Lynette. That's very good advice. Go ahead, Andrew.
Okay. Yeah. So what I usually do, which I learned from a lot of TA webinars, is reading to write. And because I guess sometimes we really get stuck with reading all the articles first, having enough knowledge in order to write. And so what I've learned a lot from the TA webinars. So just write, and then sometimes I would just write a blank reference after a sentence, and then I will look for a reference for that. And sometimes it's really very tempting to read an article and then just read through it, and then your assigned time for writing has been devoted to just reading. And so I try to get away from that temptation and just write and write, and then later on maybe find some references to the sentences that I wrote. So yeah, something I really learned from from TA webinars is reading to write.
Thank you, Andrew.
So going off to what Andrew mentioned, I also separate reading from writing. But when I read, one thing that I've been doing even more often now is to create a matrix. So I don't read the article and then put the information in this matrix. But I have the matrix open and then I'm reading the article at the same time. I just think that at least for me, it's more efficient because then I am grabbing the pieces of information that I really need. And then on the following day or a few days later, I use the information that I put on the matrix, to do my writing. But I just thought that it's a good way to compile all these relevant pieces of information that we'll need. And it's easier to find so that we can use that information in the writing. So using the matrix is one of my habits.
Good, Andrew. And feel free to
Yes.
just talk
Yeah.
whenever you'd
Okay.
like.
I also use a lot of matrix, and we all have different formats on how we actually create the matrix. And what I usually do as well when I'm creating a matrix, I want to make sure that, because a lot of the times when I'm writing, sometimes I'm not sure if this were an actual words from the article or my own wording. So sometimes I create different columns in my creating a matrix. So I would have a matrix with the actual word for word from the article. You know, if I see a sentence from an article, and I would copy and paste that, and then I would actually write my interpretation of that sentence as well, so that I would know when I actually write the article and combine all the sentences, I know that this was from my own wordings, my own interpretation, rather from, you know, plagiarizing from word for word. I do that as well when I create a matrix too.
Just,
Oh, go ahead.
I was gonna thinking of Andrew was talking about reading to write, but I was thinking about, and this is something I've thought about in other forms, but the idea of writing to read. When you write, it changes your perspective, and it therefore will change how you read something. If you're already working on a draft and you have a focus that comes from working on that draft, and then you read with a very different eye, a much more focused eye than if you're just reviewing the literature. So I think there's a synergistic element of when you write, it changes how you read, and that helps you read more effectively. Particularly, it helps you read more effectively to complete the project you've already started.
Vignette, I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing your name wrong. She said in the chat, can someone explain the writing matrix? And I would also love to hear about the like so, I would love that to be explained as well because I have some idea of it, but also if anyone has one that they use, a template or anything, if you'd like to share that in the chat, feel free to as well, or a reference to one.
For me, a writing matrix is, you know, especially when you're doing a literature review, you know, you're writing your introduction. So I do have those columns where, you know, the author's name, but I usually don't go into details. Some writers, they recommend very specific writing matrix. They would include who is the author, where the location of the research study, the population, what were the results, the methodology. And if I go to that detail, I tend not to reread my matrix anymore. So I guess you create the matrix that is useful for you, right? The matrix that is useful for me is that when I read an article and there's a catchy sentence or phrase there, I would copy and paste it into a Word document, and then I would actually rewrite that into my own interpretation, so that results of a study, and I would actually write in my own words what the results of the study is, so that when I actually do a literature review, I'm not really just providing a summary of each study, but I'm actually synthesizing all the articles or the research studies that I did. So, yeah. And I think there was one webinar in the I used to do a lot of the 6-week writing gym session, TA gym session a lot over the past 4 years. And there was one webinar there about literature review, about how to synthesize research studies rather than summarizing, which is quite different.
I just want to add one thing to the matrix topic. So I don't know if you know this book, but this is called "Becoming an Academic Writer," and it's by Patricia Goodson, and she's also a member of the TAA. One of the chapters, it's chapter 12 to be specific. It's all about matrix, and the title of the chapter I do like the title because it encourages us to use matrix. So the title is Reading and Writing: How to Stop Making the Literature Review an Excuse for Not Writing. And the way that she writes, it's very simple, but she brings an example here. So you can have an example. But I think a matrix would have to fit what you're writing about. So it would depend on what you're writing about. If it's about studies, you could just create a table with a specific piece of information from the studies that you want to revisit later.
I was looking for our template, but Kim beat me to it. She linked a template of a writing matrix that's in the TA Temples and Samples Resource Library. So if anyone's interested in that, feel free to use that. That's free. Then you can get rid of things that you don't use and add other things to fit it for you. Oh, also Lynette asked if you could, Angelica, put the name of the book in the chat. We only have a few minutes left. If anyone has any, or we have 9 minutes left. If anyone has any questions they'd like to ask, feel free, or any tips that they think would be useful to anyone, feel free to unmute and share or put in the chat. We have a question. When is the next webinar? Next webinar is actually Friday, and it'll be presented by Angelica Ribeiro, who's here co-moderating the conversation circle with us today. So that will be on Friday, and it's at 3 p.m. Eastern time, I believe.
Can you repeat the topic?
Oh, for the webinar. I don't think I said what the topic was, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I thought you said the topic. Oh, okay. All right.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't think I said the topic. It's my bad. I just want to go find it to make sure I'm getting it right. How to create happiness in work, at work, and in your writing sessions. And it's Friday from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern time.
Thank you.
Oh, I think Kim also links where you can register for it as well. Lynette asks, do you have a framework for a workbook? We probably do in our templates. I'm not sure. I'm sure Kim knows and will link it though if we do. Kim linked direct Zoom links. You don't have to log into the website. You can just register right from there. Does anyone have any last questions you'd like to ask? Kim asked, can you explain more about what you're looking for? A framework for a workbook?
Right. What I was thinking about, what would be the, let's see, the generally accepted, sections in a workbook. Let's see, for a particular content area. Let's see. What might be the segments that you would want to include that would be generally considered acceptable for a publisher, because obviously this is going to be sent to a publisher. So, and I know different publishers would have different ideas, guidelines, but generally I'm from TAA. Do you have any framework templates that you might be willing to share?
Kim said that that's a really good question, and that she can definitely find that out for you and email you after the discussion. So
Thank you so
she
much.
can
I
find
appreciate
something for you and send you an email.
that. I appreciate that very much. Yes. Thank you.
Kim is the expert on all of the resources that we have. I'm still finding new resources the TA has that I didn't know about every day. All right, we have 5 minutes left. All right, if there are no further questions, next month's conversation circle will be on royalties, and we will all be able to see each other. Sorry. We will all be able to see each other that time. So sorry about this oops today. Thank you so much for coming, everyone. Thank you so much for your advice and your questions. I appreciate it. Bye, everyone.